Presentation today is going to be about hiring people for your team. Under the umbrella of the Supernova 5-star model, the Vice President of Leadership has the opportunity to hire new talent. Let's start with hiring an administrative assistant. So, Rob, how would you start doing that?
Good question, Cindy, and I think this happens for every team where they outgrow the team that they have presently. They want to add some leverage to their team, and they think about, I need to add another CA or CSA. Well, before you do that, my suggestion is that you do a gap analysis to determine exactly what it is that you need to hire. So quickly, we want to hire either a partner or a new CSA. Instead, I'd take a step back and make sure that that the team I had right now couldn't already do that job by redistributing the workflow or eliminating some of the jobs that they're presently doing, or by further segmenting, by reducing the client base. So hiring is always the easy thing to do. It's difficult to do it, expensive, and isn't always the right answer. It could be something much less formidable, such as we discussed here before. So let's say that you do need to hire somebody.
What would the most desirable qualities be?
Well, I mean, again, I would start with the gap analysis to determine exactly where it was that you needed the help. So just looking at the organization piece of the five-star model, which is the vice president organization, which is typically what you are looking for. Then you, inside that five-star model of organization, you have got really the practice manager, and then you've got the rapid response manager. So those are the two ways that we divide up the roles and responsibilities of the administrative assistant. So let's take a look then at, do you want the qualities of a person that's going to be interacting with the clients all the time, as a practice manager would be, and setting appointments, confirming those appointments, handling small issues, but directly with the client. So therefore, you're going to need a person with big personality and very competent at the same time. If you need somebody that's a rapid response manager and is going to be responsible for just problems, then it becomes less important that they have all the interpersonal skills that the practice manager would have. They may be fabulous at working out problems, working well with the home office, but not as comfortable with clients. So I think you first have to determine what it is that you want, and then you have to look for those people that fit the qualities that you're after.
How long should that take?
Well, it shouldn't take long. I can do a gap analysis in 10 minutes with you as an FA to determine what your issues are. Then the question is, now you have to start a search for the right person, and that might take some time. I would say it could take as much as a month to find the right person, and you might have to take some time to interview people weekend or in the evening or in the morning before things get rolling, but you have to take some time for it.
Where would you look?
Well, the first place I would look would be within my own organization. So my first stop would be to talk to the manager. And then think in terms of not just your office, but other offices that are in your area where a person could commute. So the first place to look is within your own firm. And there may be just a situation where somebody is, you know, one of the things we do is try and match up the best talent with the best CAs. That's one of the first things I teach in terms of the managers is to try and get them to is to do that matchup. So if you're a top producing person, there's no reason that you shouldn't have one of the top CAs in your complex. Now, politically, that's not always popular, but it sure is a smart thing to do. The next place to look would be people that have left the business for one reason or another. Have some kids and decided to stay home, but now are bored or might want to come back. And so you've got a person that has been tested and is of value to the firm, but they just at this point aren't working. So that's another place to go to the existing CAs in your office and ask them if they know of anybody. So you're asking for a referral in that case. And the people that know, you know, the people that have been there the longest know the good people and know who's out there that may want to come back and either work part-time or full-time. The next thing is to, again, ask for referrals, but this to other firms, people that may have gone to other firms and aren't happy. Maybe somebody left and took their CA with them, but they're not really happy and would prefer to come back to our firm, whatever that happens to be. That can work, too. So you're getting a tested person, registered usually, and you may have to pay some more for them, but trust me, it's worth it when you get the right one. The next would be to look at your traditional hiring methods for the firm. So they're going to have applicants that have applied and are looking to be hired by the firm. My suggestion is don't rely on the office to hire your CA. I would get very involved in the process. I would make either myself the first or the second interview to make sure that you're getting the right person. It's nothing worse than having the firm do two or three interviews, screen lots of people, and finally hand you a person and you're not at all happy with them. So I would get involved, even though it does take time. It's one of the most important things you do as the leader of the team is to hire good support staff. The other thing I would do is try and hire as, you know, hire with the qualities. So I guess the question is, what are the qualities that you look for in a person typically for either job? For a rapid response manager or practice manager. And for me, they'd be pretty much the same qualities. I would want somebody that was optimistic, enthusiastic, high energy, very similar qualities to what I'd look for in any employee. So optimistic, enthusiastic, high energy, like doing the work, liked interacting with clients, saw themselves as a team member, and had a history of success in a similar business or practices. So you want to see that that person has been successful and is being enthusiastically endorsed by other people that they work for in the past. So track record of success in any hiring is critical. And, I mean, think about where we got the very best people and how did we hire them. They came usually from referral. So let it be known that you're interested. And then, you know, pay people well as you can. and build in an incentive system for them so they understand that this isn't just a job, but it can be a career where they can stay the whole time.
Well, what point do you think an advisor should have his own administrative assistant?
As soon as possible. You want to control your own destiny as a financial advisor. I think it's a combination of lack of confidence, that laziness maybe, that FAs don't get their own sales assistant, their own CA. I think they don't think they deserve it. They tolerate not having their own. So as far as I'm concerned, it's something that you should get as soon as possible. Now, you can't usually get it within the first couple of years, but after that, I think you should. So you want to, you know, produce at a rate rapidly growing enough that you demonstrate to the manager that an investment in you will pay off. I recommend that you pay the person if you have to on your own. In order to have your own CA, you want to do that as soon as possible, as soon as you can afford it. So fortunately, a person that's a second career person that's coming into the business that may have some savings, I would recommend that they invest and get that person one-on-one as soon as possible. Leverage is it. I mean, leverage is the name of the game. And you cannot grow without leverage. So if you're setting appointments and you're managing the calendar and you're fixing problems and you're problem solving and all the other things that you do when you don't have your own CA, then you're wasting enormous amounts of productivity.
So well, would you recommend having an intern in the meantime?
Yeah, that's a great idea, Cindy. That's absolutely. A smart intern. I mean, today especially where jobs, I mean, what's the unemployment rate among college graduates? About 10%. They're looking for work. You can go to the business school, your local business school. You can find an intern. You can, if you're diligent about it, you can have an intern, full-time intern during summers and winters. People need the experience. If you do a good job for them, you will have a permanent intern, which will act like your own CA.
So switching gears here a little bit, what about hiring a partner?
Well, I'd start in the same place that you just started hiring an administrative assistant, is do the gap analysis. Figure out what it is that you need. Do you need a marketing guy? Do you need a planner? What do you need? Do you need a leader? So once you've done the gap analysis, which is evaluate in the five stars, planning, organization, acquisition, service, and leadership, planning, organization, service, marketing, leadership, where's the gap, right? Where's the gap? Where are we now in terms of our skill set on a scale of 1 to 10? Let's say in marketing. We have the ability to market. We know how to do it, but we're not doing any of it. All right? So our talent is there. We know how to do it, but we're not doing it. So then you figure out, okay, why aren't we doing it? Well, we're not doing it because we have no time, because all I'm doing is spending time on operations. All right, so if you could get somebody to work on operations, then you could do it. So clearly you needed a new administrative assistant. If, on the other hand, you're not doing it because you hate it, well, then maybe you need to hire somebody that's going to love marketing and can leverage up your talents in terms of speaking. So say, for example, you're really great at doing seminars, but you hate to organize them. So you hire yourself an IA, an investment associate. He comes in and sets up seminars for you, and then you give him and you bring in a bunch of business. So clearly a good investment for you. So you have to decide what it is that you like to do, what you're good at, what you don't like to do, what you're not good at. Say, for example, planning. You may love the investment process and hate the planning process. Yet in today's world, if you don't do a plan for a client, you're out of business. So hire a person out of Purdue's financial planning department, spend 4 years learning to be a great financial planner, bring them, implement the plans, and to call the clients and grow the practice. So you've solved your problem. You've hired a wonderful new person for your practice who will grow and learn the business. And if you hire them properly, you'll get the number one person out of the class, and everybody's happy. So it's good for you, it's good for them, and it's good for your overall business.
How would you determine someone's a good match for you?
Well, again, the first thing I look at is the optimism is the best predictor of success in business. Energy. I'd rather take a person with high energy rather than even a smarter person with low energy. So are they smart? I think it's important that they be smart. You don't need to compromise today. You can have it all in hiring. So you can find a person with a lot of energy that's enthusiastic, that's very bright, articulate, fun to be around, you enjoy them, and they've got a track record of success that's outstanding. They're used to success. You also want a person that's worked hard, that maybe everything didn't come easy for them. They've overcome difficult situations, and they know what it's like to work hard and to face challenges and overcome them. So those are just a few things. Instinct over time. If you do enough hiring, you get really good at it. Most FAs don't do much hiring. So I would rely on my manager, if I had a good relationship with my manager, to get some feedback and do it as a joint effort with them. They have got a lot of experience in hiring, and that can be a big help to you.
Would you recommend having a trial period?
Well, most of us don't get that. I mean, there is a 90-day probation period in any hiring that typically is, falls under the EEOC hiring guidelines, where a person is on probation for the first 90 days. And if I could, I'd hire him as an intern for a period of time, and then hire him as a permanent employee. Some of us don't get that opportunity. So you've got to, within the first 90 days, make your decision whether or not that person is who they said they were. And usually no, but we're not as conscious of that. So during the first 90 days, you want to spend a lot of time with that person. And make sure you're teaching them and you're listening to them and you're understanding who they are and are they the person that you thought you hired.
And where would you look for another advisor to join your team?
I would look first, again, every really great hire I ever made came from referral. So if I were looking for a partner, it would be somebody that it would be a referral. So I would make it clear to the management team that I was looking for somebody. So I'd first look within my own office and exhaust that to make sure that those people make sure that there wasn't somebody under my nose that I'd overlook for one reason or another. The next place I'd look would be outside of the firm at other firms and see who is out there that would be possibly a good match for me that I could recruit over and become a partner. After that, I would look at traditional sources, second career people, somebody that had worked for a CPA firm or another firm where they might have a practice that could come in and do very well right from the start. And again, I would rely on my manager to help in the hiring process so that I didn't make mistakes, because they spend 50% of their time thinking about who to hire, and you spend 0% of your time up to the point where you need somebody, and then you'd spend 100% or 30% or 40% of your time doing that. So I would rely on them for this whole process of referrals and networking and looking inside and outside of the firm, and take them to lunch, take their manager to dinner and talk about it, and get a rundown on everybody in the whole office based on their opinions. And then people that they've recruited outside, maybe you could be a big help to them in recruiting somebody. So jointly you could recruit them and bring them in on your team. And then again, the traditional second career people. And then maybe again you'd be looking for that new person coming into the business from a financial planning firm or something like that. But there are lots of opportunities to hire. Most people don't, once they get into the business, they don't spread a wide enough net. They tend to think of only the people in their office or only the people they know in the business, not all the people that are in the business in your community that should be considered, but your manager would know them and would be able to be a help to you.
Well, would you use the implementation of the Supernova program as one of your screens for hiring someone? And if so, would you ask the other advisor to have the same minimum you have?
Yes, the answer is you want to make sure that Blaine Werner asked me this question the other day. He said, all right, if I'm going to hire somebody, can I give them a portion of my book so that they can be successful? And I said, sure. I said, you've got 110 clients right now. If you want to give them 40 clients, you keep 70. That would give them a good start, teach them 12 Supernova, 12-4-2. But the minimum for your team would be your minimum, not their minimum. He said, what about them trying to make their minimums? I said, they need to know coming into the business that their minimum is $1 million, not $250,000. Or their minimum is $2 million, whatever your minimum is. So they prospect in the right pools from day one, so that you're not wasting time, whether that's a partner that you bring in that has his own practice or a partner that you're bringing in that is brand new. You want to have one minimum for the whole team, and it should be the higher minimum between the two partners. But just think about it. You don't want a junior partner bringing in $250,000 accounts when the team is looking for $2 million accounts. It'll just clog up the works and waste everybody's time. You don't want the junior partner wasting their time. Sure, the accounts that you're going to hand them are not all $2 million accounts. No question about it. But they're the accounts that will be reassigned once you bring in the new $5 million and $10 million accounts. So that's why you keep one minimum.
Well, Rob, thank you for your time today, and everyone, thank you for joining us on this call.
Thanks, Cindy.
we're done with that.
Okay.